Welcome back to another episode of the YA podcast. I mean, this is crazy. We're 5 episodes into season 2, and I hope that this content has been useful and helpful for you as you've been joining us along the journey. If this is your first episode joining us, thank you. Thank you for joining, and make sure after this episode to go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. We have a whole season in season 1 that we released back in the fall that talks about winning young adults in our Harvest Field book, and we have some bonus episodes. And this season, we've had 2 episodes looking at how your young adult ministry can better prepare for the future, and we've had a live look at the YA conference that happened back in February. On this episode, I am really excited as we get to look in on the panel discussion that happened at the YA conference. Young adults who were in attendance submitted some great questions, and some really good young adult ministry leaders, Matt Longworth, Stacy Murphy, Alex Fisher, and PJ Dunn, just really unpacked their thoughts on these questions that young adults are having. So here is that panel discussion from the YA conference.
We got a couple of panelists up here. I'm going to give them a chance to introduce themselves, and then we're going to dive into some of the questions, some that were submitted. And so we'll just start right here. Matt, you can introduce yourself, and we'll just kind of go around so we know who's here.
Yeah, thanks for having us out. My name's Matt Longworth. I'm the college and young adult pastor at Forest Hills Baptist Church, which is about 30 minutes south of here near the Brentwood area.
Hey guys, I'm Stacy Murphy. I serve on staff with the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, and my specific assignment is serving as the campus minister at Austin Peay State University in Clarksville.
PJ Dunn, Table for One Ministries. I may have met you earlier. And just a little shout out, wanted to give you all a gift bag just for being panelists. So.
My name is Alex Fisher. I don't have a gift bag. From the River Community Church, college and young adult pastor.
There you go. So we just have a few questions that people submitted. We'll just kind of popcorn it. Don't feel like everybody has to answer every question. And then we'll do some rapid fire stuff at the end. And so thanks for being on this. And so kind of getting this kicked off, a lot of us in the room were maybe starting in church leadership for the first time, or starting careers, or maybe really thinking about leadership. And so what is some advice you would give to young adults just as far as like handling conflict with a superior, someone who's supervising you? Like, how do you lead up well in those situations as, you know, you're young and you're trying to figure out, you know, how do I handle and navigate that conflict? What is advice you would give?
Well, I'll admit, I haven't always done this well. And I think some of it is even going into a job place, a ministry area, leading well with humility, I think is of utmost importance in that, but also being just a good listener. Being able to understand a lot of times in conflict, we want to share our side. Our side is the right, like we're correct, but sometimes we can't assume. We don't want to just be quick to assume in every situation. And so really just listening even to our superior or the person under us, their story and why we're in this conflict in the first place. So leading well and just being a good listener, don't be quick to assume. That's good, what I would say.
There you go.
That's good. Yeah, I was just going to just agree with Matt, just good communication, use that word assumption, just making assumptions about things. When you communicate with the person who's over you, it gives you guys a chance to kind of be on the same page. And I want to kind of just give you guys a word of advice, maybe even specifically for some of you who are maybe praying through like ministry jobs, maybe going to be serving under someone in ministry, but something that I feel like the Lord has always allowed me to pray through is like, hey, the person that I'm serving under, do our visions match up well? And, you know, just to be honest, there have been times where I've been interviewing for a ministry job and I walked away and said, that's a really great vision, but I'm not sure where the Lord is leading me, that's kind of how I fit into that vision. So just communicate about like, hey, what is the vision of the job? Like, how do I fit in here? And don't be afraid to have those hard conversations when necessary.
It's a, like a prayer circle at this point. We're going down the line. But I would say yes to those. And authority is not better than influence. So often when we're new in ministry, we just think, well, if I was your boss, I would fix this. But the truth is that influence is much greater than authority. And so don't think that just because you're not over people or you're not their manager that you can't influence change. So to back to your question, that I think we need to be more influencing our people above us rather than thinking we need to be their boss.
I don't know how you guys are, but I tend to be a pretty prideful and arrogant person in my flesh. I think like many of us struggle with that. And there is an assumption that's easy to make when you're young and eager in leadership that if you were in their seat, you would do it the right way. Have y'all ever thought that before? I definitely have at times. And I can just say from being in some of those seats that I might have judged when I was younger, it can be a lot harder to lead on this side than I probably anticipated. And so I think understanding that the people you are being led by, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things that you disagree with, and it's easy to be the Monday quarterback, and hindsight's always 20/20. So I guess what I'm saying is I'll really honor and respect those leaders, even if you maybe disagree with something. Try to fight that urge of thinking, man, if I was in their spot, I would definitely, I've got this on lock. It would be a lot easier, you know. So
you all oversee people to some degree. You have interns or you have student leadership teams or whatever it may be. And so what is like a trait that you look for in somebody that you're going to hand off leadership responsibility to? So if I was going to be, you know, trying to, you know, become a leader or exhibit characteristics of a leader, what do you look for in a leader?
I think for me, whenever I'm asked that question, the word I always say is humility. And there's a lot we could say about that word, you know, just the example of Jesus and those kinds of things. But what I love about leaders that are humble, student leaders that are humble, that just means that you're willing to learn, willing to admit your mistakes, willing to just help others to learn too. I love students in our ministry when they kind of get to that point where they're investing in other students, and those students are succeeding because of the way that they've invested in them, but they don't necessarily have to get the credit for that. And I think that that's kind of part of humility, being a humble leader, always learning, always teaching. You know, you never have arrived at, you know, being the perfect leader, but just kind of keeping that posture of being humble.
Yeah, I would describe it kind of similarly as just servant leadership. There are a lot of leaders, I think I've been this in my life as well, who want to be the savior instead of a servant. And a lot of the times, what I mean by that is the savior complex, savior mentality is I want to come in and fix things. I want to come in and I can show you how to do this better instead of going alongside and growing with them in that, right? And so I think just the servant leadership, like in John 13, as Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Yes, he is a savior. And yes, he's the only savior. And that's why we don't need to be the saviors in that.
I'm really looking for like an intern, student leaders, someone who really wants to know God more. More than anything else, because even sometimes serving and doing, like you said, they can begin to act like the savior of the world, and nothing combats that more than truly seeking God with everything that they are. And all of these idiosyncrasies that we have as young leaders is worked out of us when our utmost desire is to know God deeper and more than we have before.
I would just say teachable. Like Jesus really wanted people that were teachable. When I look at the disciples and the ones that couldn't follow him weren't teachable. And so if you have a spirit where you come in, is there any Enneagram ones in the room? Anybody? Shout out. Yeah, yeah, we're always right. So like it's really hard to walk into a room and say, teach me and be selfless. And so that's what I look for.
Perfect. What would you say to somebody who just says, you know what, I'm not a leader. I don't feel like I have leadership qualities, or I've kind of made some mistakes, and so I feel like I've forfeited my testimony, or like what would you say to somebody? Those might be two separate questions, so you may say part one, part two, but What would you say to somebody who's just like, I'm not a leader?
I don't think the disciples thought they were going to be leaders. And so God is still writing your story. So if you feel like you maybe ruined your witness or you've ruined your testimony, God is still writing your testimony. He's still writing your story. And so that's just an opportunity for the leader to just come alongside and to disciple, but also just to instill confidence. And God raises up leaders, right? He raises up leaders all through the Bible. All through history, he's raised up leaders. And so as a leader, just instilling confidence and walking alongside them, but just encouraging them that God is still writing your story and he can use you because you're uniquely and wonderfully made.
That's good. And I think too, like, just never assume that, like, God is not calling you to be a leader. Never assume that that's just someone else's job to do. You know, we see leadership, you know, as a gifting in scripture for edifying the body, for building up the church. But we also, kind of like Matt said, we see God calling leaders all through scripture that never thought they were qualified or good enough, or maybe others would have never picked them out of a row of people of like, hey, you're the leader. So just kind of lean into those qualities that the Lord has given you, play to who you are, those strengths that you are as a leader. And I love what Matt said about how God is writing your story. I was kind of having this conversation with a friend earlier today of like, hey, is your testimony ever really ruined? Because your testimony is ongoing. And so if you have done some things, maybe made some mistakes or different things like that, even how you grow from that and continue to be a reflection of Christ going forward, that's part of your story. That's still part of your testimony as well.
Yeah, just to echo what you guys have said, definitely do not allow your past failures to determine your future. The gospel is greater than whatever failure that might have been. So if you think something you've done in your past prevents you from how God can use you in the future, that's simply not true. And to believe that is to say the gospel is not enough to restore and redeem whatever situation that was.
For these last few, we'll do more rapid fire, maybe just one answer per question. There was a question specifically submitted for Alex, and the question was, is lying a sin? And I'm not sure, or is it a sin to lie? I don't know the heart behind that question, but Alex, it was submitted for you, so I'll give you a chance to...
I don't think we can answer this one rapid fire, so...
There you go. It's understandable.
That's the truth. That's not a lie.
Yeah, there you go. What is one habit that you've recently started that you would recommend somebody start, or that you're trying to start, maybe?
I can answer this one.
Okay.
Our family has not eaten out in January in an effort to be more resourceful and frugal, and I think it's been a practice and discipline, and shout out to my wife for her amazing cooking skills. But that has made it to where it's opened up opportunities for us to have more people over, have more resources to be able to do community with people, so that's a habit.
There you go. What is the best way to witness to someone of the opposite sex?
Say it again.
What is the best way to witness to somebody of the opposite sex? Or what are some safeguards maybe of witnessing to somebody of the opposite sex?
Yeah, I would just say be genuine and don't think that you have to go too far, or like treating somebody like a human still works. So when you overthink it and you're just like, boy, girl, or like different backgrounds, then you've overthought it, and then you get weird. Like, you make it weird, don't make it weird. All right, so I guess that's my answer. Don't make it weird.
Don't be yeah. Weird, huh? Let's see here. Do you think, is leadership a spiritual gift? And if so, how would you describe it? Is leadership a spiritual gift, or is it or would you describe it in another way? Yes, the answer is.
It is, but I think when we say that, then some people may think that they can never be a leader, right? And so in Romans 12, it talks about kind of the gifts of grace that that God has given us. Paul talks about that. And so, and he says, you know, those who lead with zeal, right? And so everybody, just like we talked about leadership earlier, God can raise up leaders in that. And he can really grow you as a leader. And so I do believe from a spiritual aspect of leading Church, yes, absolutely. I think that God calls up leaders within the church. But all of us are also called to lead people to Christ, right? And point people to Christ. And so I think, yes, it's a spiritual gift, but God can, it's for all.
There you go. When is it time for me to move out of my parents' house?
Can we tackle this one? Okay.
The BCM director is going to tell you now, today is the day of salvation.
Maybe, hopefully not stepping on toes, but hey, to that question, I'm always going to say, move out sooner rather than later. And a few reasons for that. Something that I hear sometimes from young adults is, it just financially makes sense for me to live with my parents. But I want to offer you guys just maybe a thought that maybe you haven't thought about before. Well, yes, maybe that helps save money. Maybe that makes sense financially. Don't put a price tag on having some independence, learning to grow, maybe living on campus if you're in college or getting an apartment. There's just some valuable lessons about how much money do I spend when I go to the grocery store, or like how do I plan my meals? Also, something that God really changed my heart on when I lived on my own for the first time. I'd always felt like I had the gift of hospitality. I was never able to practice that well to hide my own place. And then I learned that value of having a small group in my home, having non-Christian friends over. Until you have your own space, sometimes you can't really even just practice some of those gifts that God has given you. So just some perspective there.
Well, and I'd just say, you're not going to move into a $1 million home. So don't save up until you have that. And so Camping World is a great start, Ryan. Like, I always like to plug the camping lifestyle. We're campers, but like, I'm just telling you all to change your life when you realize that you can have a bathroom and move it anywhere you want. So.
There you go. Last question, and this can be a couple of you if more than one want to answer. But if you could tell your younger self something, what would it be?
I think for me, something I think about with this, and this would kind of be more in my early 20s up until the time I was like 25 or 26, is just realizing that God is going to call me to do something one step at a time. Maybe this is kind of where you're at, but I spent a lot of time in constant stress and worry about, okay, but what about 10 years from now, or the kind of the 15-year plan? And just, I would just go back and tell myself, God just needs my yes for the next step. And after that, I need to give him my yes for the next step after that. That's what I would tell myself. And just relax in that.
Mm-hmm. I would say, this is something, when you asked the question earlier, what have I added to my kind of leadership style? Is just learning how to listen well. That's something I would tell myself going back to college. And it's just listen to people and listen well. Don't act like you have it all figured out. There was a college student just last year who told me, I said, hey, what is something that I can do to just improve kind of my relationship with you, with other college students, leadership style? And he said, sometimes I feel like when you're talking to me, you're thinking about your next conversation. And I said, wow, thank you for telling me that. And so just listening well and being present with the people you're with. Our phones are so distracting. Social media is so distracting when we can be off in another place. And just listening well and being present with that. And also with the 20s, don't neglect this. Do not neglect God's word. In my college years, early 20s especially, I went too long not reading and not taking my relationship with Christ seriously. And man, I just missed out, I feel like, on so much. God's still writing my story, right? But don't neglect the word.
It's a little silly, but like also really true. So I would say mac and cheese isn't going to fix it. So to younger me, food was a counselor. Food was the thing I turned to before prayer. And so if I'd have gone back in time, I mean, spiritually, food was the thing I'd turned to fill me up. And we know that that's not the case. And so mistreated that relationship. And I would go back and try to learn that lesson earlier.
I would say a lot of things probably, but the most, I think, central thing would be, I wish I would have spent more time in scripture and more time in prayer. And that's not to say I never read the Bible or never prayed, but man, if I could change one thing, I would have just spent more time doing that, because that would have, I mean, so much affected my life now. And as you said, God's still writing our story. So it's not a point of shame or guilt. It's just, if I could change one thing, I would spend more time here and with his people and in prayer than I did.
I am so thankful for ministry leaders like we're on this panel, but also ministry leaders like you who are on the front lines week in and week out serving young adults in our state and even across the nation. And so if you have any questions that you want answered or you would love a different perspective, feel free to reach out to us, rkeaton@tnbaptist.org. I would love to be able to just continue to unpack these questions that young adults have. I'm thankful for ministry leaders who are willing to address the hot topics of today, who are willing to lean in and to pour in to young adults in our state. If you haven't, make sure to go like, subscribe, and share, because you are our best way to get this message and this podcast out. This is a reset resource for you and by you. And so thank you for being on this journey with us. If there's anything that we can ever do to serve you and your church, please feel free to reach out to us. Until we meet again next week, go win Tennessee for Jesus. And thank you. Thank you for cooperation, because without the gifts through the cooperative program, things like this wouldn't be possible. Resources like this wouldn't be possible. The ministry that we do to young adults in Tennessee couldn't be done without churches like you and leaders like you. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.